We're outside the Travel Agency, a cannabis store that's got everyone buzzing.
I've been to dispensaries all over the United States, but I've never seen one this unique.
So nice. Amazing vibe.
Some of the best customer service I've had in a store.
Blows my expectations out of the water.
Come down to the Travel Agency and see for yourself. For use only by adults age 21 and older. Keep out of reach of children and pets. In case of accidental ingestion or overconsumption, contact the National Poison Control Center. Consume responsibly.
From the kitchen of the cabin, a look at the games that made us who we are in Ben and Steve's Advent Calendar. So it's December the 3rd, the day before Krampus, Steve. Are you scared about getting your little bum bum whipped by the Krampus?
So Krampus is Austrian, right?
Well, it's of the sort of German extraction, but it's South Germany and Austria, yeah.
Like Mittel Europa.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so what does Krampus do? Maybe for the listeners, probably for the Americans who aren't familiar with this custom.
So in
America, you just get lots of shit on Christmas. It's all about gifts and consumerism and children getting everything that they want. What about
in Austria? I'll talk about Austria because Austria is the place I know. In Austria, Father Christmas doesn't bring Christmas presents. It is the baby Jesus with wings that brings Christmas presents on the 24th and not the 25th. But they have 2 days in the beginning of December, and now it's become, you know, you get some chocolate on those days. But I'm sure it used to be a much bigger thing. You have St. Nicholas, as they call him in Germany, and he's on December the 5th, and he's a good Christian saint, and he represents the good side of Christmas for all the good children. And then on the 4th, you have Krampus, and Krampus is an evil demon with horns that looks like a sort of pig goat man, and he has a birch switch. And he whips all the bad kids. And I think he eats them in folklore. But when I lived in Vienna, groups of like 17-year-old kids would genuinely run around the streets on Krampus with like birch switches in their hands, whipping like 8-year-old kids. It was amazing.
And this wasn't frowned upon?
No, of course it wasn't. It's bloody Krampus.
Were you
completely acceptable?
Were you a good kid, Ben?
No, I was a horrible little vandalizing shit. I mean, of course I was.
So did you get coal in your stocking as a result?
No, I got loads of Christmas presents because I was spoiled rotten, Stevie.
So here's an anecdote that will basically verify for you everything that you think you know about me.
yeah, I'm sure it will. Carry on.
When I was very young, I read about different Christmas customs in different countries.
Okay.
And I don't remember which country it was. Maybe like... what was then called Czechoslovakia or Slavic people in general. I don't know. I read that these people, the kids from these cultures, they would put their shoes under their beds at Christmas because then Santa Claus or whomever would put candy in the shoes. Now, as an American child.
Yeah. So on Nicholas, you get sweets in your shoes on Nicholas in Austria.
Okay. So this is probably what I had read about, right? And I still believed in this stuff at the time. So I was, you know, old enough to be, you know, basically growing into my future nerd self, thinking a little bit like, I don't know, actually like an engineer, but young enough that I was credulous, right? I believed in like the supernatural bullshit, I think, or I just wanted to trick my parents into giving me more candy because it was already an embarrassment of riches at Christmas time. But, you know, why not get more? Because to me, it was like, oh, if I put my shoes under my bed, I get more candy. Later, I thought,
right, exactly.
What must my mother have thought? Like, oh, my God, this little shit. Really? Now I've got to do this. Now I've got to sneak into his fucking room at night and put candy in it. And sure enough, she did it. I woke up in the morning because I explained to my mother. Probably I knew what I was doing, right? I explained to her about what I had read. I'm like, Mom, you're not going to believe this. If I put my shoes under my bed, Santa Claus is going to put candy in them. And he did. Or someone did. I don't really know who did it, to be fair.
It definitely wasn't your mom. It was definitely Father Christmas who did it.
So all of the cards that I would get on my presents, they said from Santa. Santa had the same handwriting as my mother, which is like actually quite distinctive if you see it.
That's an incredible coincidence, isn't it?
I think that he probably does it on purpose, right? Because he wants to retain a little bit of mystique, but doesn't want to like completely steal the thunder from your parents who actually do all the grueling work, wake up at 4 a.m, put the presents out, that kind of stuff.
Wipe your bum bum.
What?
I bet you wet the bed until you got married, didn't you?
Yeah, only until then.
That my uncle, that's true. My uncle wet the bed until his wedding night, and then he never wet it afterwards.
I vaguely remember being resentful that I couldn't do it after a certain point, because it's like so convenient to just like piss whenever you feel like it. Whether
really
it's in
is,
the bed.
Really
yeah,
great.
Or like, you know, my parents like, you've gotta like stop using diapers and start using the toilet. I'm like, but why?
What the fuck?
I can just,
not only,
I can just shit whenever I feel like it.
Not only do I just get to go when I want, but you clean it up. What is wrong with you people? This arrangement is great.
Yeah, tell me what exactly is incentivizing me to stop pissing and shitting myself in the living room.
Oh, I'm going back to it. I'm going back to it tomorrow.
I mean, we both
you convinced me. All right, so what's your game for today, December the 3rd, the day before Krampus, Stevie?
I'm very excited about this game. This game, I don't know if it's the game itself or the anticipation of it. I don't think there's been a single game that I have looked forward to more than this game that has actually delivered as much as this game. And that is Iron Dragon. I think not necessarily the last entry in the Empire Builder series of Crayon Rail games, but I think the last one that I played and the one I have sort of, for me, it's definitive. I basically never want to play another Crayon Rail game. So when I first started playing, let's say proper board games in the 90s at this board game club that I mentioned 2 days ago, they brought out at one point, what was it? I think British Rails. Somebody had British Rails and Nippon Rails and maybe Empire Builder itself, which is the United States. There was North American Rails, which is Canada, US, Mexico. These were the standbys, and I played all of them like 100 times. And at some point, Australian Rails came out, and this had the innovation of desert spaces that cost the same as normal mileposts but could get wiped out in a sandstorm, and that was very exciting. But I love these games. I love the fact that you were drawing your rails on the board directly with your crayon, and then you were moving your train, your pawn, on that. Like you were moving your train on rails that you had built to connect cities, to pick up and deliver goods. I mean, the concept is simple enough, but I found it so engrossing. And then at some point, someone told me a rumor that a fantasy Empire Builder game was coming out, like a rail game, crayon rail game set in a fantasy world. And, you know, being the geek that I was, like I almost spontaneously combusted upon hearing this news. So this was going to be a rail game that had different terrains, that was going to have foremen that would reduce the cost of building on these terrains, that was going to be set in like this magical realm. They had said at the time that there would be combat rules. In the end, there weren't combat rules, although I think there was an ad hoc expansion that added them later on. But anyway, Iron Dragon finally came out. We were all in this like state of anticipation, like me and a bunch of like, you know, middle-aged men, such as I am now. I'm experiencing the same emotion now in thinking back on it as they probably felt at that time, and it is just as embarrassing.
Anyway, I assume you're hanging out with fewer 15-year-olds though.
I want the listeners to know that I hang out with 0 15-year-olds these days. I think by the time Iron Dragon came out, I was probably 19 or 20. I mean, what was it? Was it 1990? No, 1994. Oh my God, 1994.
It's a long time ago, Steve. You're old.
Oof, goes way back. Okay, so I was 16 years old when this came out, and this game delivered. It delivered for me. I loved it. I love the idea. Like, can you enjoy a game just because you like the premise? I mean, this is probably very similar for me with History of the World. You can come in and play it, and if you're only looking at it as a game, maybe you're not very impressed. But I was just like so into the theme, so into the idea that what you were doing was like building tracks and moving goods around like the other Crayon Rail games, but in a fantasy world. And you had an elvish foreman, and your train was literally a dragon that was being, well, I guess, enslaved in order to, you know, facilitate commerce. I just loved this game. I could play it over and over again. And even though it takes a while to play it, like a lot of the classic games that I look back fondly on, I just have so much fun with it.
Now, I've played this with you, and I think a couple of times, in fact, and I'm going to be straight with you here. And this is why I'm not going to talk a lot this episode. I'm not so enamored with this one as you are. But last time we played it with you and a friend of ours, Teresa, and she was completely blown away by it too. Why? Why do people love it so much, do you think?
I think there's something about the sandboxy nature of it, where you're drawing on the board. I mean, this is what is attractive to me about legacy games too. I mean, one part of what's attractive to me about legacy games, that you're somehow interacting with the components in just like a totally surprising way, novel way. I mean, certainly this was novel for me all the way back in 1994 and prior to that. So for not being that into the game, I guess I would suggest you try one of the earlier entries in the series. Like we could play Australian Rails or British Rails or whatever. And, you know, you could compare them and you might not like love any of them that much, but you could probably see why I love this one in particular so much. The funny thing is they used to tout these games as educational, right? And I guess for me, it must have been somewhat educational, but it must have made an impression, right? Because I was playing Nippon Rails, British Rails, and Australian Rails, and these are like three of the countries I decided to live in later on in my life. I still haven't made it to the fantasy world yet.
So, okay. Tell the listeners why they should ask Father Christmas, after he's wiped their dirty Christmas bottom, for a copy of Iron Dragon.
So what I think is most compelling about Iron Dragon is I don't think that the style of game that it is has really carried on that much into the contemporary board gaming era. And you can correct me if I'm wrong. It's not like I'm fully aware of every game that's out there, but this sort of like crayon rail game, or even any kind of like network building game where you're drawing on a board and what you're drawing is going to basically comprise your personal play space for the game, and also have something to do with how you interact with the other players. I don't think there are any other games really doing this. I don't think this is a mechanism that has survived, and I'm not sure why that is. And therefore, by playing this game, you're getting to sort of experience something that I think is just novel and unique and special that you're not going to find in other games. And if you're into fantasy stuff, which I assume a lot of our listeners are, it will also give you like a little bit of a, I don't know, a little bit of a thrill to be reaching back in time to that tender age when you first read Lord of the Rings and imagined, wouldn't Middle Earth be better with trains?
Thank you for listening to this show and indulging our overweening nostalgia. If you would like to support the show, you can do that by going to patreon.com/5G4D. And we both wish you a very Merry Christmas.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.